Hi, and welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast. I'm your host, Meg Pearson. I'm a passionate student of life, plant medicine mama, teacher, and self-care and abundance addict. I'm here to share my story as well as what I've learned through my 40 plus years of living and many life experiences that include personal bankruptcy, overcoming bulimia and alcohol addiction, and finding true healing that allowed me to embrace later in life pregnancy and motherhood after many fertility challenges and much loss. I have taken back my mental, financial, physical, and spiritual health after retiring from my career as a successful television director at age 30 to create the life of my dreams in Costa Rica. If you're ready to step outside of your comfort zone, take your life and health into your own hands, and finally feel truly connected and in love with your body and soul, then join me every single week. The Meg Pearson Podcast will offer an intimate look into my world, my struggles and successes, as well as potent insight and tools from my guests, fabulous friends, and spiritual teachers. I have become the empowered woman and mother I always knew existed deep within me, and now I coach others to do the same. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hello and welcome to the Meg Pearson Podcast. I am excited to be here with you guys again. This is the first time recording live in a couple of months, actually, because Levi just looked surprised when I said that. Live? By the way, well, recording an episode to go live this week.
Oh, okay.
Because, by the way, Levi is here with me.
Hello.
Before I hit record, Levi said, okay, you're in charge. And then we get on here recording and you're already asking me questions and giving me funny looks. Levi Moody. I've lost my train of thought. And I'm not even going to edit this because hashtag new mom life, hashtag newborn baby boy, sleeping in his swing next to us. It was the only way we could sit down and get this recorded. But what I was trying to say is this is the first time I've recorded a podcast live since I think my last time was in June, because I banked a whole lot of episodes to get me through to the beginning of September. But we're hopping in here live this week to share the birth story, right, Levi?
Yeah.
And we've been trying to sit down to do this for a couple of weeks now, and it just hasn't happened. The podcast was, this episode was supposed to go live the day before today. The day before today. I can't say yesterday because by the time this goes live, it'll probably be tomorrow. Time. Is it real? It
doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. So I have my fiancé here with me today. Because we can't share the birth story without sharing some of his perspectives. Obviously, he saw things from a different perspective, a different end. And so I want to be able to get his two cents. So how are you feeling, Levi?
I'm feeling good. I don't like my voice recorded, but...
Well, you're not having to hear it right now.
Yeah, so I won't listen to it.
You won't listen to it. I think Levi's a little bit nervous, my friend. So let's all just take a deep breath. Okay, so the birth story. You may have seen us hinting about it a little bit on social media. It's taken us this long to not only sit down and record it, but I think it's taken me this long to really drop into the reality that was the birth, because it was pretty crazy and beautiful and peaceful and everything I wanted and needed it to be, but also not to plan. So let's just rewind a little bit. Ozman was due July 23rd, which was a week after the day that we had chosen for our wedding, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Levi proposed to me in June of 2021. Remember that?
I remember that.
We went and drank some medicine. We were in an ayahuasca ceremony in June of 2021 with 65 other people. And at 2:00 in the morning, after everyone was coming down from the medicine and coming back to Earth, Levi raised his hand to share his experience with the group, and at the end of that, he asked me to be his wife. And so I was really drunk still on the medicine. I couldn't even sit up to accept. If I do recall, I stayed lying down, but said, of course, yes.
I think you said hell yes.
I think I said hell yes, or maybe fuck yes. But we had picked a date. The wedding date was supposed to be July 16th, 2022, but then we found out last November that we were indeed pregnant, and the due date was going to be very close to the wedding date, so of course we had to postpone the wedding. At any rate, Aussie Man was growing healthily in my womb, and as of March of this year, started measuring quite big. But thankfully, through my studies, because I've done a lot of studying since we had our daughter in 2019, I knew that later in pregnancy, ultrasounds are typically not very accurate when it comes to the sizing. I mean, I had a pretty good idea that Aussie was going to be bigger than Kobe, but he was measuring really big. So everyone was, all of our birth team was laughing about that. He was head down for months. I think when we went to have an ultrasound in March, when he was only about 6 months, when he was 6 months then, March, April, May, June, yeah, about 6 months, he was already head down in position, and he remained in the exact same position, head down, for the remainder of our pregnancy. We had an amazing birth team that we chose and really met with in March also, right? We drove to, so we live in a little, outside of a little town called Tamarindo, Costa Rica, which is on the northern Pacific coast, where we have a tattoo shop. What's it called? Name drop?
The Drifter's Ink.
The Drifter's Ink Tattoo. That is actually where Levi and I met in 2018 when I went in for a post-ayahuasca ceremony tattoo. Ayahuasca is a thread in a theme in our relationship. But where we live is very, it's out here, it's rural. There's not a lot of access to medical care, and home births, surprisingly, are not really a thing so much here for the local population. So when I decided I wanted to have a home birth, we had to plan to do that in San Jose area, which is the capital city of Costa Rica, which is about 5 hours away from here. So we knew, I knew right from the moment we started trying to get pregnant with this, with our second child. And if you're not familiar with our conception story and all of that, you can go back and listen to some previous episodes of the podcast. Let me just look them up real quick here. I don't remember the numbers of the podcasts, but I have shared a lot. I have shared a lot about our journey. I think the very first episode I shared about our journey was back at the beginning of 2021, which was talking about our losses. And I think at that point we'd only had maybe one loss, one miscarriage, but we ended up having three through the course of 2021. Through the course of 2020, we tried to get pregnant the whole year and did not conceive. And in 2021, so episode, let me see, doesn't tell me. One, two, three, four. Episode number five, called Navigating Fertility and Loss. You can have a listen to that one if you want to hear about the early phases of our conception journey. And I know when I was in the journey, I loved hearing other people's stories to relate, to commiserate, to really understand that I wasn't alone. So that's why I'm sharing this with you. And then another great episode for you to listen to is... Levi, do you want to share something? Tell a joke while I'm looking at this episode? Come on, you've got a lot of good jokes.
I'm running on no sleep.
This is where I insert the sound of crickets. Which I'm going to write down because that would be quite funny. Where am I here? About 7 minutes. Okay. The other episode is episode number 31. It's called We're Pregnant, How We Naturally Conceived in Our 40s. And I recorded that in January of this year. Episode number 32, by the way, is my first birth story, from spa contractions to a cascade of interventions. So in that episode, I share about our birth of Kobe, our daughter who just turned three. Her birth, she was also born in July. So July is a magical month for us. She was born July 31st, 2019. And Levi, I know I've shared about my experience. Why don't you give a little bit, just a short take on what that birth was like for you? That was a hospital birth here in Costa Rica, right?
Yeah. I was scared shitless. I mean, I never thought I was going to be a father anyway in the first place. But it was just unfamiliar territory. We didn't really have much support. And there was a lot of things going on in the hospital room. A lot of people coming in and out. And I mean, we have a pretty good grip on Spanish, but in that situation, when you're under stress and people are yelling and talking fast, and I didn't know what was going on. I don't think you were in a state where you knew what was going on, and things happened really quick. And I mean, we planned for a water birth, and that obviously didn't happen. And next thing I know, you were getting a spinal tap, and the spinal block. Spinal block, yes. And then the doctor broke your water, and as far as I can remember, everything happened so quickly. The doctor had the forceps. He was pulling Kobe out by the head, and I was up by your head, and all I could see was your body. Like,
he was pulling with such force that my whole body was shifting down the table, the birthing.
And from what we had discussed about what we both wanted, it was the exact opposite. So it was, I know it was traumatic for you, but I can say for the men out there that it can be pretty traumatic for the birth partner.
Well, and I mean, I think I blocked out a lot of it. I honestly don't remember the birth and a lot of the moments leading up to it, to the point where at one point I questioned, did they end up giving me different drugs, more drugs than I thought?
I could have used some.
I don't think that was the case. I think what happened is I disassociated. And I've shared a little bit about my sexual trauma on the podcast in the past. But because of that, I think I did. I disassociated. I separated from my body to avoid the fear and the pain that I was experiencing, because it was a male doctor and everything was very forceful and not as planned. And in my heart, I wasn't permissive with the interventions that were taken. But just like a little girl, I didn't know how to use my voice. I didn't know what to say. And so I think for both of us, as we move towards this second birth, there was a lot of fear. There was trepidation. I know you were terrified.
Yeah.
which worried me, which had me having nightmares about Levi not being there for me in the birth. And I think I've shared a little bit about that on social media in the past, or even on one of the podcast episodes. So we had a lot of work to do emotionally to get prepared. And we knew we wanted to do this birth differently for both of our sake, for this baby's sake. And also I decided early on I needed it to be a healing experience. So we knew a hospital birth probably wasn't going to be that for us. Not that you can't have a beautiful, amazing, empowered experience at the hospital. I just knew going back into that environment would be triggering for me, and I didn't want to face that if I could avoid it. I did prepare myself mentally that might have inevitably been something we needed to deal with if there had been complications, but our birth plan was completely different, and it involved working with a doula named Sylvia, who was absolutely incredible. And there is one incredible doctor here in Costa Rica that we had heard about. Friends we knew had birthed with him. And he's very progressive. A friend of ours birthed a breech child with him back in 2019, around the same time we had Kobe. And I just heard so many great things about him. So we reached out, and in March we went and visited him. And the minute I walked into his office and he met us with a hug and a kiss on the cheek, I knew that he was our doctor. he was just an incredibly warm man, super experienced, and also a homeopathic doctor, and just super incredible. So I shared with him our experience that we had with Kobe, and I said to him, I need this next birth to be my healing. I need it to be empowering. I need to walk this path in my strength. And he, without hesitation, said, well, you're not going to have the baby with me. You're going to have this baby with my midwife. And I was like, hallelujah, because that's what I wanted, right? I wanted to do it with a midwife. I wanted to do it at home. So as I mentioned, we live in a rural town, so we knew we had to do it in Escazú. So we knew our plan would be to rent a house in an area of San Jose that is really nice, and where this doctor's office happened to be, and where the midwife did a lot of births. And we found her. We met her on the next visit, I think, in June or in May. I don't remember. One of those months, we went back to San Jose for another appointment with the doctor, and we met with the midwife, and she was super sweet. And the two of them were super collaborative, which was refreshing to see a doctor that was so not just supportive of midwifery, but, you know, knowing that some cases are better served by a home birth and a midwife. So that felt really, really good. So the plan was to do it at home with a water tub. The midwife, that's one of her things. She just brings the tub, and you know, that's a normal part of her birth plan. So that was our birth plan. I had done a lot of studying since Kobe's birth. I have certified as a childbirth educator, so I know a shit ton more about the birth process and the human body than I ever did before Kobe. I've also done a doula certification course and just done a lot of expanding for myself, just so I was going into this birth with the awareness and what is possible. I also dabbled with hypnobirthing, but what I found actually a bit more helpful was leaning on all of my wisdom from my years of work with plant medicine. I had a feeling that moving through the birth portal was going to be like moving through a deep plant medicine journey. And that's exactly how I had a confidence going in to not really, I didn't study the hypnobirthing as much as I should. At one point I said to Levi, every night before bed, we need to listen to these meditations. And I think I did that twice. Yeah. I read the book. I told Levi about it. But a lot of the theory is just erasing the fear around birth. And I was working with a therapist, my therapist, who is also a hypnotherapist. So she helped me. She recorded a hypnosis that I listened to a few times as well. So in July, we moved from our house in Tamarindo to Escazú. We found a great 3-bedroom house. We expected Ozzy to come early. Even the doctor and the midwife predicted he would come a week or two early. So we wanted to make sure we were settled into this home well in advance. And so we moved to San Jose on July 2nd, was it?
I think so, yeah.
And we had it all planned out. Because Kobe was with us now, who was just about to be 3, we knew we'd need support for her. So my sister, Stephanie, flew in for a week. That was so cool having her there, right? Levi and you guys get along really, really well. Mm-hmm. So we had Stephanie there for a week. And then the day my sister left, which was Saturday, let me see. Saturday, July 16th, my sister flew out. She left. Or sorry, she flew out on the 17th and my mom flew in on the 16th. So yeah, that was great. We had my mom there then. And the plan was to have my mom there for the birth. I really felt like I needed her there as part of my healing process and to feel really supported by the most important women in my life. So what I didn't mention is we got to the house on July 2nd, which was a Sunday or a Monday. We got there on Monday, the July 3rd, actually. The 2nd, we stayed at a hotel. And then on the 3rd, we checked into the house. And I woke up at 4 a.m. on July 4th, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Having contractions.
Yeah.
So I thought that I was like, literally, we checked into the house and there I was going into labor already. And my sister wasn't there yet. She didn't get there for another few days. And so I was in a bit of a panic, but those contractions stopped. And then I didn't feel really anything again until later on. But in the meantime, while my sister was there and my mom was there, we got the house already. We did a lot of shopping. There was a lot of supplies we had to buy, like a water hose and an adapter and towels and blankets and wet sheets to cover the beds and
puppy pads,
puppy pee pads, you name it, we had to get it. It was this exhaustive list of home birth supplies, things from the pharmacy, things from Walmart. And once we had all of that, we got the house already. We set up a birthing altar, which was a sacred space that I think we both utilized quite a bit in the mm-hmm. weeks leading up. I'll put a link to an Instagram story reel that I did explaining a bit about the birth altar, but it was essentially just a space that we set up in the center of the home to offer us inspiration, a space to connect to Ozzy before he was born, and just a place for us to collect symbols of strength as we prepared for the birth. So I'll add a link to the Instagram reel about that in the show notes here.
Kobe loved it.
Oh my gosh. She loved it. She loved burning the incense. She loved the ultrasound photos of Ozzy. We had a lot of 3D ultrasound photos. So she'd always see, there's Ozzy. And then in the weeks leading up, our doula Sylvia came by a few times. She taught Levi a bunch of techniques to help me through labor using the birthing ball, a yoga ball. Oh my goodness. Rebozo. I couldn't remember the name of the big scarf that you use to support me and stuff like that. Our midwife came and visit and just make sure we have all the supplies. When I was 39 weeks and 4 days pregnant, which was precisely when in my pregnancy with Kobe that we delivered, I was 39 weeks and 4 days with her. I really expected Ozzy to be there by then, and he wasn't. So that morning, Sylvia, our doula, came over and gave me a massage with oils and pressure points. And then that afternoon, I decided I wanted to have a little ceremony just to connect with Ozzy. And there's another episode of the podcast that I cannot remember the number of, and I'll put a link in the show notes, where I talked about my preconception communication that I had with Ozzy. Through plant medicine, through working with the Akashic Records, I had received a lot of conversations and downloads from Ozzy, from the spirit baby realm.
He was too busy talking to you, because any of my journeys, wasn't connecting
with him. He never talked to Levi, but he was always chatting with me. But I guess because he was inside of me, right? He was already in my realm. But so I knew if I'd reached out to him, maybe I could convince him to join us. So that afternoon, I set up another little altar in the bedroom, lit some incense, and did some meditation and some prayer, and tried to connect with him. And I was just telling him, Ozzy, we're ready for you. Please come.
And please come.
Please come. I was so pregnant. I was so huge. Like that day, I don't know what happened, but my stomach tripled in size, didn't it? The day before he was born, because the next morning, I woke up at, this was on July 21st. I woke up at 5 a.m. and went to the bathroom. Didn't think anything of it, went back to sleep. And around 7:30, I woke up again, went to the bathroom. And after I finished, I noticed there was a tiny bit of blood in the toilet. Didn't think much. Got my house coat on, walked down the stairs. And as I was walking down the stairs, I had like super mild period cramps is what it felt like. But because there was a bit of blood in the toilet, I said to my mom as I was coming down the stairs, I said, hey, might be today. Who knows? This was at 7:30. Went to the kitchen. Levi and Kobe were in there.
And you said, let's go for a walk.
I said, let's go for a walk. Maybe we can go to the park today.
I wasn't feeling it. I was like, oh, God, no. I don't want to go.
At this point, we were so just spent of just running around San Jose trying to kill time, too. But I sat down at the kitchen table, and I think you made me a coffee, and I just sat there chatting with Kobe and my mom, and all of a sudden, I started to feel a slightly stronger period cramp. So at 7:58 a.m., so just about 8 o'clock, I texted the birth team and I said, hey guys. So I had a text chat that had the OBGYN, our midwife, our doula, and our birth photographer, because we had also lined up a birth photographer to come and shoot the labor and the delivery. And so I texted all of them at 7:58 a.m. and said, hey guys, might be today. I'm feeling mild cramps. And I had a little bit of blood in the toilet this morning, and everyone was like, okay, great, keep us posted. And so I was sitting there having my coffee, and at 8:17, I had a bit of a stronger cramp. So I thought, hell, not doing anything else. I might as well open up my contraction timer app and start timing contractions and see what it says. And within the next 15 to 20 minutes, I had enough contractions close enough apart that my app told me it, like the screen popped up and said, get to the hospital. And I laughed. I was like, what? And I was still talking with my mom at this point about what we were going to do that day. So then I kept timing the contraction. Then I started getting stronger. So I said to Levi, maybe we should start getting the house set up for the birth.
We didn't even have the pool yet. The doula.
The midwife was going to bring the pool. And, you know, it's the assume that you're going to have a couple of hours from the onset of early labor until delivery. So I didn't think that, I thought I had a couple of hours at least. So I, you know, Levi started doing a couple of things that we wanted to cover. There were some skylights in the birthing room that I wanted him to cover up with some garbage bags, so it was a bit dimmer, and so we could light candles and all of that stuff. But then the contractions started getting so strong to the point where I couldn't talk through them. And so I decided I needed to have a shower, and maybe the hot water would help slow things down a little bit. So I went up and had a shower. And as I was in the shower, I started having contractions that were so strong that they brought me literally to my knees. So at this point, it was probably about 8:45, I'd say. And, you know, I was upstairs and I think you had to help me walk down the stairs.
No, your mom brought you downstairs because she brought you to the bathroom.
Okay. Mom brought me downstairs. And then I went back into the labor room where Kobe was there with Levi. And I started really getting lost in the contractions. And around this time, I was also getting text messages from a delivery guy.
Oh yeah, your credit card.
Because In the days before all of this, there had been fraudulent behavior on my Costa Rican credit card. And so they were supposed to be sending me a new one, and I couldn't just go pick it up at the bank. What they needed to do is they needed to deliver it to me at home with my passport and get my signature. It's just the way the banking system works here. And so I knew they were going to be coming at some point soon. Levi had covered the windows. Levi, Kobe, and I got together at one point during this time and lit our labor candle, which is a special candle that Kobe and I had picked out with three wicks that we wanted to light at the beginning of labor and keep burning through the labor. So we lit that. And I don't know what time it would have been, sometime between 9 and 9:30. The contractions were getting really strong and I felt like I had to go to the bathroom. So my mother helped me to the bathroom at the front of the house, so on the main floor. And this bathroom door was right across from the entrance to the house, the main front door. And I sat down in the toilet and I had two really strong contractions, like super strong back-to-back contractions while sitting on the toilet. And I got up, and at that point in my brain, my logical brain was saying, there's no way that this is happening this quickly. But my body was saying, this is fucking happening. So I stood up and I didn't even pull my underwear up. I was walking around in a sports bra and a pair of short, like boy short underwear. I didn't even pull my underwear up, and my mom helped me walk out of the bathroom, and I made it to the living room floor.
With the big bay window.
Right in front of a big bay window where my yoga mat was. It's where I'd been practicing yoga all week long, and I just dropped to my knees on the yoga mat. And I think at this point you came up from the back room and saw me there.
Yeah, and then I yelled, get the puppy pads.
Because?
Because you started pooping. And we luckily got the pads under you, and then you really started pooping, and then I said, all right, Grandma, we need more pads.
Yeah, and you wheeled my yoga ball over to me. Mm-hmm. So I was on my knees, and I had my arms resting on it was actually Sylvia, our doula, gave us a big birthing ball, so I was resting my upper body on that. Levi had wrapped the Rebozo around my stomach and was giving some support to my belly with that. And at that point, I think I said, get me my playlist.
Yeah.
Because I had made a birthing playlist the day before. That was part of the ceremony that I had done that previous afternoon, as I had put together, finally, my labor and delivery playlist. And it was 7.5 hours of beautiful birth music and plant medicine music. And so Levi brought that out and hit play. And
you started your moaning and screaming, and I'm holding your belly, and all of a sudden...
But then I said, you need to get the birth team here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because they were not even on their way at this point.
Right, so I'm texting, hey, you need to get here. And they're like, oh, we left a few minutes ago. We should be there in 20 minutes. I'm texting with them, and then all of a sudden I hear a horn honk outside, and it's the guy delivering your credit card honking his horn. So I ran outside and I said, okay, give me the package. And he's like, oh, I need a signature. And I said, she's in there, and I could hear you from outside
with my primal groaning and moaning.
And I said, she can't come outside, just give me the credit card. And he said, no, I need her signature.
And I think you were literally trying to say in Spanish, she's having a baby.
Yeah, and I'm like, you can hear clearly she can't come out. She's in labor. And he's like, well, I can't give it to her. And I know we needed to pay for a few things. So I'm like, okay. So I grab
a little digital debit card machine. And Levi had to bring that inside. And I was on my hands and knees pooping, groaning, and I had to sign
for your credit card.
for my credit card.
I remember you didn't even sign your name; you just made
just
a mark and
scribbled. So then we had our credit card, so that was a good thing. So this was like 9:30, just past 9:30, and the contractions were coming so heavy, so hard. I knew from my, you know, just all of the work that I'd done and the studying that I've done as a childbirth educator and everything, that I was definitely in, you know, major real labor. Like, it was happening.
Because your water broke.
And my water had broke at this point as well. Levi witnessed my water break. And
And then I texted the birth team. I said, you need to get here now. Her water broke, and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
So somebody come.
So my mom was there. Kobe was there. Levi was there. And this baby was coming. This baby was coming no matter what. And then there was a moment. I remember I was resting on the yoga mat, and I looked over at the sofa. My mom was sitting there watching, and all of a sudden the contractions just stopped and eased, and I could breathe again. And my mom looked me in the eye and she said, oh, you're getting a little bit of a break. And at this point I knew I was in transition. The transition had just ended, and this was the calm before, you know, the actual birth. And it was such a beautiful calm that I mean, I haven't felt something like that, I don't think, ever in my life. It was this beautiful relief, but also this readying. It's like I had to collect myself in that brief moment of time to know that the next phase was pushing. But it was such a gift, that moment, as brief as it was. I don't even know how long it was. And then I don't even remember the pushing phase. I don't remember the doula getting there. I don't remember the midwife getting there, but they were there, what, 5-10 minutes before?
Yeah.
When
your water broke, I said, somebody needs to get here. And they said, oh, we're stuck in traffic. We'll be there in like 7 minutes. And then approximately 7 minutes later, you were pushing and you're like, oh, it's coming. And I heard you growling like, hey, never heard you growl. And then Monica came first. Who was
our midwife.
Yeah, she went straight to you. And then 2 seconds later, Sylvia came. And within 5 minutes of them walking through the door, Ozzy was laying on the living room floor.
It was so crazy. I don't recall this phase of it. We have a video because thankfully, as soon as our doula walked in the door, pretty much she hit record. And so I do have a video. And the video starts with Ozzy's whole entire head out. Mm-hmm. And it's just, Monica is gently helping guide his head, but I did it all on my own and with my breath. And I remember just being there on my hands and knees, feeling the intensity. And I won't even call it pain as much as it was just intense. And being vocal helped so much. You know, I had thought that I was just going to breathe my baby down using my breath, which I did. I used my breath. I didn't push consciously. It was more of a, you know, what the hypnobirthing teaches is to breathe the baby down. But I don't even recall the ring of fire that people talk about when the baby first begins to crown. I don't really recall that.
I think not that I felt it or whatever, but the noises you were making, I'm pretty sure that at some point I knew that's what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, I must have been off in labor land because I don't recall that. It really does feel like I was on another planet up until the moment that I turned around and met Ozzy.
And at that moment is when the photographer came through the door.
Yes.
She missed the whole thing, and she is like pulling her cameras out of her bags and
left the door wide open. So yeah. The team's like, close the front door.
And yeah, it was a 5-10 minute period of, I think the baby's coming. The doula, the midwife showed up, Ozzy's here, then the photographer's here, and it was just camera flashes and click, click, click. And
Kobe going, what the heck is going on? And my mom going, this is so incredible. It was so it was like an hour and...
You said 90 minutes.
It was 90 minutes, 8:30 until 10. Things started around 8:17, so...
It was 4 songs into your playlist.
It was literally... From the moment we hit play on my playlist, it was 4 songs in. And so in the show notes, I'm gonna put a photo of our playlist. But I'm going to also share our birthing list publicly on Spotify. But I did birth to an amazing song called This Is the Day by Jaya Lakshmi, which has become a bit of my what's the word? When the song, my anthem. Because the lyrics to that song are absolutely beautiful. And I feel like I did have a bit of a rebirth during this birth of Ozzy. And I'm just going to look up the lyrics. because it's just, every time I hear this song now, it makes me realize my strength. It makes me realize how empowered I was and how surrendered I was all at the same time. So the lyrics say, "This is now is the time when I let go of my fears, inhibitions, and sense of dread. When I give up control and I let you hold me with no resistance in my soul. This is the day when I throw it all away into the fire of the all-loving one. Now I have just what I need to be free, to feel who I really am. Here is the place where I fall into grace and release into the sweetness of your love. I surrender, I remember the light and the beauty that I am." And that, you know, that, I mean, it hits me right in the heart every time I hear that song and listen to those words, because I feel like there was so much that I did get to let go of through this experience birthing Ozzy in the exact way that he wanted it to be. You know, I laugh that he took so long to join us. You know, we had these three miscarriages before him that I do believe were him. So he was very hesitant to join us. And when it was time for him to meet us earthside, he was not hesitant one bit. He jumped at the opportunity to meet us and be with us. And it was such a gift, as crazy as it was. And then we spent the next several hours, like the whole birth team, just laughing about how ridiculously crazy it was. And even our OBGYN showed up. When did he show up?
Oh, he showed up like maybe half an hour, 45 minutes after.
Yeah. So we spent a bit of time on the floor in the front room, and then the birth team, Levi, helped me get back to the sofa that we had set up in the original planned birthing room, where we got to do just a whole lot of bonding as a family. The birth team stood back and let us all connect, Kobe, Levi, myself, and the baby, Ozzy. They gave us a lot of space. Eventually, Monica did all of her checks of Ozzy, make sure he was all good, and then we get to do skin to skin, and I got to get him on the breast. And then eventually Dr. Perez came in and sewed me up. And I love the one photo that we have of him. He's between my legs, sewing me up. Monica's holding an iPhone for a light. Levi's up by my head, and we're all laughing and smiling, which is such a stark contrast. If we had taken a photo of that exact moment with my birth with Kobe, God, what a contrast.
I don't even think Kobe would have been in the room.
No, I don't think Kobe. I mean, Kobe was definitely taken away. I don't think she left the room, but the pediatrician took her right away. Mm. So, yeah, it was such a beautiful experience. I'm already blocked out the intensity of it, and I would do it all over again. Even though we're still in the throes of this crazy newborn phase. Ozzy just turned 5 weeks old on Thursday. Which is, I don't even understand where the time has gone. I'm just so blessed and grateful that you were there and you would be able, were able to support me. And I want, what are you taking away from this experience, doing it the way we did it? Seeing us, Ozzy and I, do this on our own.
Oh, I'm so proud of you guys. I mean, I knew you could do it. I know you're strong enough and everything. It was just such a difference than the first time, so it made me really proud of you. You did good.
I did do good. And we made a really beautiful baby. He's such a little medicine dude. I mean, knock on wood, this boy is so chill. Eh? He never cries.
No. I mean, he poops so much.
He poops a lot.
That when he does cry and you've already fed him and burped him,
you know,
you're like, oh, just, what's going on? Oh, yeah, he shit himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he's such a gift. And my little teacher, my guru, he's already taught me so much and he continues to. And I can't wait to see how our relationship just blossoms. And I can't wait to see you being a father of a little boy. So drastically different than having a little girl. And there's a lot more to share about the journey so far since he came here. We've had, myself, I've had some stuff that I've been healing. Thank goodness our doctor is also homeopath. He's given me some really beautiful tinctures that's helped me heal physically. It's been, I think, more challenging physically this time than it was with Kobe. Even with me, I had an episiotomy with Kobe. I did tear this time, and that has been rough. hemorrhoids, man. Ladies out there, if you know the birth-related hemorrhoid situation, it's a rough one. That's getting better already, thanks to the homeopathic tinctures I've had. And then Levi. Ozzy's had some challenges, some physical challenges. I'm going to share about that in a later episode because we're still in it. So I don't feel ready to share completely about everything that's been going on for him. But he's happy and healthy, and we're all happy and healthy, and he's getting the treatment and the support that he needs. So that will come in another episode. Ooh, look at that, 40 minutes. I am going to leave it at that. Do you have anything else that you want to add about this experience to anyone that's listening out there, that maybe words of wisdom to any partners out there that are feeling hesitant about? Because I've had women reach out to me and say, I really wanted to do home birth, but my husband was scared of the idea, or et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, not to take anything away from the mothers out there and everything, but I think a lot of men or birth partners not get overlooked, but it can be extremely stressful on them, and they need the support too. And I mean, I highly recommend a home birth and everything, but you know, like, just take care of yourself, you know, like, find the support. And I mean, it's not an easy thing, but you'll get through it. You can do it. I mean, people have been doing it for millions of years, so
yeah.
It's just life. And it does get easier. I remember when Kobe was born, I was just like, oh my God, this is so hard. I was always told it's so hard, but it does get better, and you forget about the hard times when they come up to you and, Daddy, I love you. It's pretty special. And yeah, don't be scared. Home births are
magic.
Are awesome, yeah. And the hospital is always there, so if there isn't a situation or you need to go to the hospital, at least you can say you tried. And
yeah, and I think that's, you know, I think it's important they have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. Mm-hmm. And plan A is your ideal birth. Maybe that's a home birth. Plan B is, okay, what's it going to look like if I have to go to a hospital? And C, what's my ideal scenario if it needs to be a cesarean section, right? C is for cesarean.
There's no wrong way to do it.
No. And as long as you're prepared and you are planning and you have an amazing support team in place, whether that's a doula, whether that's working with a midwife, whether that's a therapist, yoga teacher, a coach, you know, that's, I think, the most important thing, because you can feel empowered in whatever circumstance gets thrown your way, as long as you're prepared mentally, physically, emotionally.
And if us old farts can do it, anybody else?
Yeah, man. 41 years old. I know my mom was laughing. She told me that Sylvia, our doula, at one point said to her the day of the birth afterwards, like, what an incredible birth that was. I can't believe Megan's 41. It must be all of the yoga and everything that she does that allowed her body to do this with such strength and grace, you know? And I'm thankful that I have taken care of my physical body up until this point, because I do believe it made it a lot easier to just breathe the baby out, breathe him out, and the baby, like, he's not here, Ozzy. Breathe him out. And my body knew what to do, as all of our bodies do. It's the fear that confuses us. So,
and you did amazing.
Thank you. So there we go, my friends. We're going to leave it at that, because that was a long episode. And if you have any questions or want to hear about more about what tools we used outside of what we've shared here, feel free to shoot me a message on Instagram, Coach Meg Pearson, or at the Meg Pearson Podcast Instagram account. And yeah, we'll leave it at that. Thank you, Levi, for being a special guest on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, my friends. I love you, and until next time. Thanks so much for listening, my friend. Please, if you would be so kind, I would be grateful if you could share, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Also, please follow the show over on Instagram at The Meg Pearson Podcast and share what you thought about this week's episode. Don't forget to tag us. For more information on today's episode, please head over to the podcast webpage at meganpearson.ca/The Meg Pearson Podcast. Until next time, lovers.